As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and faithful and true.
My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you, and I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true.
My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do.
Give him praise this morning. He's worthy. Amen. He's faithful and he's true.
Well, we just thank the Lord this morning that he is faithful and true. What a blessing this morning to have a Heavenly Father who is full of love and compassion. And his mercies are new every morning. Praise the Lord to that. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church this morning. So good to see everybody. I want to welcome those who are viewing by way of Facebook as well. Never want to take your presence for granted, your virtual presence, that is. And so we appreciate you for watching and in our live stream that operates every service as well on our webpage. And again, we're just so thrilled to be able to minister to the world from this pulpit through song and through preaching. And I wonder if we have any first-time visitors with us this morning. If this is your first time, would you raise your hand? And all right, we got one here. So good to have you this morning. If we can get an usher to get a visitor's card to him, and you just fill that out and put it in the offering plate as it comes by. That way we can have a record for your visit. And so thank you for being with us, and you are our honored guest. Well, we want to mention a few things this morning before we pray. I want to thank everyone for the for making chili, for the chili fundraiser on last Sunday night. We not only met our goal, but we went beyond our goal. And if we can give a round of applause for the Lord. And so we thank God for all of you gracious donors who have given a lot, have given behind the scenes. That was before and even after our fundraiser. And what a tremendous blessing that is. We're going to start making our purchases this week and to start preparing for installation. So isn't that a wonderful thing to know that's taking place, building at the church? And so we are building at the church. We are moving forward. What a blessing that is. And so thank you for your donations on that. And again, the foyer was completed on the week before last. And many people have complimented that. Just one small step, again, toward our building project of here at Calvary, making things better. And so thank you for your compliments on the foyer as well. We have Miss Barbara Anderson's funeral this past week on Monday. And so I just asked if you'd remember her family, her brother, during this time. And had a beautiful, beautiful funeral. Brother Brian and Brother Snyder spoke very well of Miss Barbara. Of course, Miss Barbara preached her own funeral, didn't she? And, of course, we said a few words there at the cemetery. And just a cold, cold day, cold and windy day at the cemetery. But nonetheless, it was a wonderful home-going celebration for her. And but do remember her family. There's several people who are sick, this flu and cold going around. It is claiming a lot of people right now being sick, but Miss Catherine, she's sick. She's at home, and she's trying to get better. I don't think she's gotten much better, but do remember her in prayer that she gets to feeling better. And then remember Brother Don Rich. They're away this morning, but they'll be back tonight from what I heard. And they have a spinal tap that he has to have done. I believe it's scheduled. I can't remember when it's scheduled, but they're trying to figure out what's going on with him. So please remember him in your prayers. Just a couple of things on our calendar I want to make mention of before we pray. This coming up Saturday at 10 o'clock, all that would and could meet us here at the church in the fellowship hall. This is our outreach. We're going to be reaching out to the community, inviting people to church. And so this is going to be a great time for that. And if there's ever a place in our ministry here at Calvary that needs to be strengthened, it's this area. So I'm asking if you would, and if you like to share your faith, this would be a great opportunity to do that. And so we are looking forward to this coming up Saturday at 10. And then Sunday morning, I wonder if we have any Braves fans in the house. Anybody like the Braves here? All right. Well, we got Otis Nixon. He will be here. At least he better be here. we've triple confirmed Otis Nixon will be here on next Sunday morning. And feel free to wear a Braves t-shirt, a Braves jersey. And this is going to be a great day here at Calvary. And I thought, too, you know, spring training is getting ready to start on the 24th of February. And what better way to bring in baseball this spring than to have Otis Nixon come here and to speak for us. He's going to be giving his testimony and share his salvation experience with us in that Sunday morning service. And so please make plans on being here for that. And then this coming up Thursday is the ladies' prayer brunch here in the fellowship hall. So ladies, please make plans on joining that. If you don't, you're missing a blessing. Please be here for that. 11 o'clock in the fellowship hall. And the ladies are asking for everybody to bring their own food this time. Normally, it's kind of provided for. But this time, just bring your own food. And it'll be a great time on the 15th, this coming up Thursday. And then lastly, Jubilee is right around the corner. And that is March the 3rd, Sunday, through March the 7th on Thursday. And we'll get you a lineup as soon as we can. Maybe this time next week we'll have a lineup for you on Jubilee. All right. Is everybody glad you're here this morning? Say amen. Amen. All right. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And we are looking for the Lord to do great things this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for all blessings. All blessings come from you. And Lord, help us this morning to just put on our listening ears. Father, I pray this morning that you would get our attention. Help us be laser focused. God, we don't want to miss nothing this morning. I do pray, God, that you would gird up the loins of my mind, Lord. Give me a clear head and a calm heart, God. Because, Lord, I want to preach your word with all clarity and understanding. I need your touch this morning. And I pray for your people who are listening, God, that you would touch them and help them not be distracted and have laser focus. And God, I pray by the time that we leave this morning that we would be better people, better Christians than the time when we came in. And help us leave today being ready to share Jesus with a lost and dying world. And Father, we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do today. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the donations. Thank you for going above and beyond what we were asking, God. That's the kind of God you are that can do exceeding above, abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And we're thankful for that. Meet with us in a mighty way this morning, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand. Church, if you'll stand, turn over to page number 139. Choir, stand, sing. Let's join in together and sing this morning at Calvary. All right, everybody sing now. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me. Seated. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And let me kind of piggyback on what Pastor said this morning. We need to go into our community this week. If you can't be here next Saturday, I can assure you somebody's going to go somewhere. McDonald's, Waffle House, Dairy Queen, Johnny's Barbecue. Anybody going to go anywhere and eat this week? Go in with the attitude that, hey, we need to invite some folks to come to church next Sunday morning. Amen? That's weak. If that's that week, this is what we're going to be looking at next Sunday morning, too. We need to invite people to church next Sunday. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Not that it should be any different any Sunday, but we've invited someone, and we just want to fill the house next Sunday. And I believe we're going to hear some great things from Otis, and we look forward to that. Hey, you get a chance to wear your Braves jersey. Jersey don't get too much better than that, amen? But please come and support the service next Sunday morning. It would be sad to look out there if you were the visiting guest speaker and us have 25, 30 people here. It'd be just terrible.
So there's no reason in the world why we can't get out. You're going to go to the grocery store this week. You're going to go eat somewhere this week. Everybody you come in contact with, tell them that we're going to have a great service next Sunday morning. Amen? And because we just want to support what Pastor's done. I mean, it's pretty exciting to have someone like that. And, of course, we'll probably fill the church up next Sunday morning. Then you won't be able to find them with a search warrant. But that's okay, too. But please come and invite someone. Get on the phone. I'm going to talk to Facebook for a second. Hey, would y'all please come next Sunday morning? Wear a mask, whatever you need to do, but we'd love to have you here. It's going to be a great day. And also, please make Jubilee a matter of prayer. Amen. And we look forward to a great, great lineup this year. I believe Brother Snyder will be with us on that Sunday morning. And we're going to have a great group here with us on that Sunday. His Second Coming, which is the group that Jackson plays for. And we're so excited about that. They're going to be here with us all day. And we're going to have a great, great week of Jubilee. And it's right around the corner. The choir's learning new songs. If you've been praying about getting in the choir or back in the choir, this is the day you want to do it. Because in the next few weeks, we're going to be learning some new music, and we're excited about it. You heard a new song this morning. You'll hear another one here in a few minutes. So it's just a great time. God is good. Amen? God is good. And he always is. And we're so thankful for his goodness, his love, and his mercy. And I'll quit and we'll pray. But I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I hope you are as well. God, you're so good. We love you, Lord. Lord, our hearts and our minds and even our voices this morning sing out, Lord, that we love you and we thank you for your mercy, your grace. God, you've been so good to us. We want to come this way this morning and just lift your name in praise. We want to come this way and we want to worship you. Lord, we have an opportunity to do that. You've given us the help, the strength, and the desire to be able to. Some can't be here that would love to be. Lord, we pray that you would touch them physically. Lord, whatever hinders them from being in your house today, Lord, I pray that you just be with them and bless them. Please be with Miss Catherine and touch her. Others that might be traveling, others that don't, just didn't feel well this morning, God, I pray that your hand would be upon them. Be in the service today. Now, Lord, I pray that you touch our pastor. Lord, I know you've given him a message. Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to receive it and to do with it what we need to. God, I pray that you just draw us, Lord, closer to you, closer together. Bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, thank you for the offering that we received last Sunday evening. Lord, help us to be wise and to make decisions in the next weeks, Lord, that would, Lord, honor you and Lord, just bring you, Lord, glory and praise for everything that's been accomplished. Now, Lord, again, pray that you'd be with us today. If there's anyone that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that's one of the reasons we've turned on the lights and opened the doors, that someone might come to know you as their Savior today. Lord, I pray that you just fill this place with your Holy Spirit, draw us closer to you, and we'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.
As I look back on all of my days, so many times, so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain. Sometimes the tears fall like the rain. But through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. God is still good when the rain. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. Been times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, my God is still good. Oh, His mercy still flows from the palm of His hand. He will give grace and help me to stand. Although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. My God is still good. Blades roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can, don't understand, God is still good. Still good. Oh, my God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, clouds of doubt may darken the way, showers of blessing come any day through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken the way, showers of blessing will come any day. He'll see me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good.
Strong drinks. I've never fit with a popular crowd. And I've been told by some around me that this world's fun and I've missed out. I don't spend my time chasing fortune. And I've never walked the halls of fame. I don't have a fancy education to put a title by my name, but I've been to Calvary and I met the one who gave his life for me. Calvary. My Lord is such a sweet companion. He meets with me in my time of prayer. And when a storm sails my direction, a still small voice tells me he's there. I have joy when they say I shouldn't, and I have peace when it doesn't make sense. I can rest content when I have nothing, and persevere when I lost my
may be limited, but it's our spirit that's unstoppable. When I let go of what I am, I become what I might be. The defiant human spirit remains steadfast. When you choose courage in the face of fear, you defy the things that hold you back from greatness.
I think that life is not about the amount of days that you live on this earth, but it's about what you fit into those days that allows you to live a remarkable life. Every one of us, every single day, is blessed with the air that we breathe, the opportunities that we have. And I challenge you every single day to get out of bed and do something that your future self will be proud of.
At some point, we all bought into this lie that you've got to feel ready in order to change. We are not designed to do things that are uncomfortable or scary or difficult. And in order to change, in order to do all those things that you know you want to do with your life, with your work, with your dreams, you're going to have to do things that are difficult, uncertain, or scary. We want to change. We want to live a better life. The desire is there. Again, it's about how do you go from knowledge to action.
You and I are designed to be purpose-seeking mechanisms. When we're not, when we live in our comfort zone, we live a life of survival.
No matter how chaotic your vision, no matter how chaotic your life, don't ask yourself who you are today. Ask only, who do you want to become? And then are you willing to pay the price to get there? Take an action today or you never will.
Make your way to Nehemiah chapter number 1, if you would, please. Book of Nehemiah chapter number 1. Whether we like it or not, change happens in life. And I believe this morning that we serve a God who is constantly wanting to change us. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Nehemiah chapter number 1. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer. And then I want to read verse number 1 through 6 and then verse number 11. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for all things. All things. Sometimes it's hard to thank you for all things. It's easy to thank you for the good things, but the difficult things, the times in life where we're stretched, the times in life where we know we need to forge ahead, but sometimes our comfort zones hold us back, God. Even then, when you make life uncomfortable, we are thankful because you want us to. You want us to change. We love you this morning. I pray, oh God, that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. I pray, Father, that the listeners this morning, God, you would have their complete attention. And Father, I pray again, by the time that we leave this place this morning, we will be better in our walk with you. Maybe if there's someone here that doesn't even know you as Lord and Savior, today would be that day that they choose Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. We love you today. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. With thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Nehemiah chapter number 1. In verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Now, if you would, look down in verse number 11. O Lord, I beseech thee, Let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. That's reading Nehemiah chapter number 1, verse 1 through 6. Then verse number 11. Nehemiah was at work in Shushan, the palace. And as we just read that last statement of chapter number 1, he was the king's cupbearer. And we know there came a day when some of his brethren came. And Nehemiah asked, how were things back home? How were things in Jerusalem? We know they gave report that things were not good, and actually that the people of God were in, they were in a time of distress. He says in verse number 3, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So we know that this troubled Nehemiah. So we see that as we look at this story in this first chapter, that there is a major transition about to begin that is taking place in the life of Nehemiah here. God changes Nehemiah's occupation from a cupbearer to a construction builder. We must keep in mind that Nehemiah knows nothing about building blocks, only about barren cups. He has no formal training in building nor any experience in it. Nehemiah didn't have any warning that God was getting ready to change his path. Nehemiah was just serving faithfully at Shushan, in his position, content, happy, everything was going well until God began to burn in his heart a desire to go to Jerusalem and help the people of God. Let us all this morning be mindful that God does make transitions and changes in our life. Whether we like it or not, guess what? Things are about to change. Whether we like it or not at Calvary, guess what? Things are about to change. Whether we welcome change or whether we resist change, life is all about changes. Seasons change. There is fall and winter and then spring and summer. Things change. Life is all about changes, and we serve a God who certainly changes things from time to time. Let us also be mindful that God also can call us to do something we've never done before. How scary is that thought? For God to speak to us about doing something we've never done before. It was Noah that God told him to build an ark. And of course, we have here Nehemiah where God burned in his heart and put it in his heart to go and be a hero to the people of God. God calls us to do things we've never done before. During these times when God begins to do something different in our lives, it can certainly be scary and even a bit confusing as we pray our way through these changes. You see, God this morning had something greater, bigger, and larger scaled for Nehemiah to do in his life than to bear cups. Nehemiah had something about himself that God fully knew about, and that's why his path changed. What was it that God knew about Nehemiah that caused his path to change? And I'll tell you what it was. It was his heart. It was his heart. Nehemiah had heart. His heart was bigger than Shushan the palace. He had a love for God and the people of God. And because of that, God was getting ready to change him from being a cupbearer to a construction builder. so that he could be used to sustain the people of God. With that said this morning, I want to preach a few minutes on this subject, Nehemiah's transition. Nehemiah's transition. And I'd like to mention five things. I don't know if we'll finish all five this morning or not, but if we don't, we'll have part two tonight. Very simple, practical things from Nehemiah's time of transition that could benefit us and that we could relate to. Are you going through a time of transition in your life? Is God changing something in your life physically? And you've got doctor's appointments now, and you've got medicine to take now. You're out of your comfort zone. Is God changing something in your life physically? Is God changing something in your life at home? Things are different at home. Kids are graduating and leaving for college, and now you're empty nesters. Listen, we've got two more years, and we're going to experience that change at our home, and I'm not looking forward to it. All we've known is taking Lily to school and day in and day out and being there at the school and helping out. So, not looking forward to that time. But listen, there's times of transition. It can be something with a job. It can be something financially. It can be, you can just lay across the board. Any given situation, change comes and change happens. So this morning, are we ready to change? Are we ready to change? Number one, when it comes to Nehemiah's transition, I want to mention Nehemiah's comfort. His comfort. Nehemiah was at a place in his life where things were great. There were at least four things that were great in the life of Nehemiah during this time. Number one, he lived in a palace. Look at verse number one. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, or end of November, beginning of December, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Nehemiah was comfortably nestled in a palace. He had all the food he wanted to eat. He had a place to sleep. He lived in a palace. What a blessing that would have been, to live in a palace, having a place to sleep, food to eat, things at your disposal. This was a time in Nehemiah's life where things were comfortable. But not only he lived in a palace, but he was warm. Did you just catch what I said a moment ago? This was the month Chislu. End of November, beginning of December. This was cold months, winter months. But Nehemiah didn't have to worry about the elements on the outside because he was nestled inside this palace and he was warm. He was warm. Isn't it a blessing to have a house to live in and roof over your head to keep you from the elements on the outside, to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer? That is a tremendous blessing. And so he was warm. But not only he was warm, but he had a trusted position. The Bible says at the end of verse number 11, "For I was the king's cupbearer." Nehemiah didn't start this chapter off by saying what he did. He just started this chapter off by saying where he was. And then he mentioned he was the king's cupbearer. He was a humble man, a man of humility, and he was a trusted man. Only the trusted could have such a position of being the king's cupbearer. Why, there could be plots to poison the king. So someone was needed to inspect and pour the king's drink at the royal table. And to be quite honest with you, I guess the only kickback would be if you go to test that drink and you drop dead from poison. But he was a trusted man. He was to inspect and pour the king's drink at the royal table. This morning, this was Nehemiah's comfort zone. He was living the comfortable life. Living in a palace, no bills, out of the cold, occupying a position that most would covet. He had access to the king. He even had friends. Think about it. He was working there, and he got a visit one day for some friends. It was Hanani, and it was some men of Judah. And they came to meet him to give him information, yet he still had these friends that stayed connected with him. What a blessing that is to have some friends that stay connected and keep you in the now and let you know things that are taking place in their life and possibly things you need to do in your life or at least be made aware of. And so Nehemiah was comfortable, again, living in this palace, and he was warm, a trusted position, and he had friends. Isn't it a tremendous blessing this morning to have a roof over our heads, to have food to eat, clothes to wear, out of the elements of the weather? Most of us have jobs and sources of income. Thank God for that, but also thank God for good friends who stay connected, that care, friends that value relationships. Nehemiah had everything going for him. Life was good. I want to go a step further and mention not only Nehemiah's comfort, but I want to mention Nehemiah's concern. His concern. Now, Nehemiah's concern had to do with primarily two things. Number one, his concern had to do with the news he received, but then it had to do with how's it all going to work out. Number one, look, notice with me in verse number two. The Bible says that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So first of all, Nehemiah asked how things were going when they got there. Hey guys, good to see you. Good to see you. How are things going? What a pleasant surprise. I mean, it was just a standard visitation, I'm sure. Nehemiah thought, here's his friends, and they had they come to meet with him, and he asked him how things going. Well, they answered his question in verse number 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And so Hanani and the men of Judah gave the harsh news. The people of God are afflicted, Nehemiah, by the enemy. And Jerusalem is just about demolished. There's a fire right now. It's on fire, Nehemiah. And so this was some news to him. It was harsh news. Not only do we know that Nehemiah's concern had to do with the news he received, but Nehemiah's concern had to do with how's it going to work out? How's it going to work out? Meaning how in the world is the people of God going to be taken care of? How in the world are the walls going to be rebuilt? How in the world is that going to happen? So we know that Nehemiah was very sore afraid approaching the king with a sad countenance. He had always had a joyful disposition. We know that Nehemiah began to pray and fast, and he mourned in all of those things certain amount of days. And then look, if you would, in verse 11. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him, speaking of him himself, mercy in the sight of this man, the king. For I was the king's cupbearer. So this tells me that God is speaking to Nehemiah about going there and fixing the problem. He says, I'm the king's cupbearer. I have to go before his presence. And if I have a sad countenance, which I never had before, this could lead to other things. The king could think I'm plotting against him. The king could think whatever he wants to think, some kind of ill plan I may have because of a sad countenance. This could mean death for me. And so, God, I need you to move in a mighty way as I approach this king concerning what you're putting on my heart to do. So we know that Nehemiah was very sore afraid approaching the king with this sad countenance. Look down to chapter 2 in verse number 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, which is March or April. And so from the very first time he found out about this news to now, it's been 3 to 4 months he had been fasting and praying and seeking God on this. In the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then the Bible says, then I was very sore afraid. Nehemiah was afraid. He was fearful of how the king would respond. But ultimately, he was concerned about how all this is going to work out. I mean, he was a cupbearer. He was happy with what he was doing. But because of the visit of the brethren, God started to speak to his heart about going to Jerusalem. God, how is this going to work out? Can I say many and much of the time in life when we approach intersections of in life, crossroads in life where things are about to change or we sense transition, primarily there's two concerns. It's the news we received. But number two, it's how's it going to work out? How's it going to work out? Now, the spiritual thing to say this morning is this. The Lord will work it out. And guess what? The Lord will work it out. But we're still human, aren't we? We still like living in our comfort zones. We like to reach for things that we know are near. We like to sit in our comfortable chairs of life. We like to watch others do things and wear themselves out. We are comfortable making our paychecks and going to the bank regularly, going to the grocery store, and all of those things. But then what happens is, boom, out of nowhere, God begins to stir your nest. God is in the changing business. And sometimes in life when changes occur, it's the news we're concerned about. But then it's how's all this going to work out we're concerned about. Listen this morning. We're all human. And there are times in life when things are changing. And it's concerning. What if God asked you to build an ark? What would you say? What if God asked you to sit down your cup that you enjoyed pouring to the king and pick up a hammer and start rebuilding walls of trade you have no idea about, nothing about, have no experience? Well, Lord, I just can't do that. Can I say this right quick? One thing that blesses my heart, ministry stories I hear, how God picked someone up here and put them there, called them to do something that they had no idea to do, nothing about, knew nothing about, is Brother Don and Sister Carla. Just think with me for one moment. They did not know how to speak Spanish, did they? Before going? They can speak fluent Spanish. I can barely speak English. And most of the time I get corrected when I speak. What if Brother Don and Sister Carla said, you know, I can't learn Spanish. Don, and I'm sure they're going to watch this. They may get a little laugh out of it. Now, I'm Don and Carla talking back and forth. Yeah, I know, Don, we can't do that. And plus, Peru, Cajamarca, Peru, we like it here in Powder Springs. Yeah, you're right, Carl, you're right. I mean, it is a stretch. You really think God would call us to do that? Number one, pack up and move to another country. Number two, learn a new language. No, that's just too much. How encouraging it is this morning. They answered that call.
and learn the language and are fluent. And they have been to the jungle. They have passed out Bibles where there are huge snakes, I'm sure. They have went in swamps and areas that probably not many trod. Brother Don will tell you, some of those areas are questionable and not that safe. But they answered that call and they went. God was calling them. How encouraging. Listen, sometimes we don't know how it's going to work out. All we know is we have a holy urge and God is pushing us toward change. Lord, have mercy. I want this church to change. Not that it's bad, but God has something great for this church. And He's pushing us toward change. And let me say this. Thank all of you who gave for the technology upgrade. Not only did we meet our goal, we went beyond our goal. You know what that tells me? That you are supporting what I'm preaching and saying about the vision of this church. You won't change. What a blessing for all of us to be unified in change. Listen, we're all doing things, some things new, going to knock on doors. That's scary. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody, a lot of people in here have knocked on doors before, but that's a scary thing. And talking about bringing in flat screens and drilling holes in the wall and, you know, walls that Ceylon and men have spent their time putting up. And by the way, I talked to Brother Ceylon about that. After the fact we decided to do it, I talked to him about it. And I wanted to make sure because, listen, they put their blood, sweat, and tears in this place. And I appreciate that. And so Calvary is already slowly taking on a new image. The hallway's been painted. A lot of people don't care. Look, the people I've talked to love our new hallway. But there's some who haven't said nothing about it, and that's fine. But look, I think it's amazing. I think the bottom hallway is amazing. I think the color of the church on the outside is amazing. I think the foyer is amazing. I think the plans that we have technology-wise is amazing. And maybe because God has burned my bush and I'm being consumed by it, maybe I'm being burned the most because of that. But at the end of the day, I'm just so amazed at the change that's occurring here. But that's only one side of the token. The other change has to be outreach. It has to be outreach. Now, we could paint and we could hang flat screens, but if nobody comes, what good is it? And so the other side of that coin is pounding pavement. It said, hey, come in here. I don't know if you go to church or not, but we're going to have a former Braves player who supernaturally flew like Superman over that wall and caught that ball. They may not care anything about going to church, but they may come to church for this. And if we pray for God to move in a mighty way, maybe when they come and hear Brother Otis speak, maybe he'll say something that may speak to their heart and God will use that. They may say, you know what, I want to come back a second time to Calvary because I heard something and it really caused me to question some things in my life. You see what I'm saying? Knocking on doors, invite people to church. And again, we mentioned last Sunday night about wanting to have VBS again this year. We got to have it. We got to get the kids in. You get the kids in, you get the parents in. We have potential vision for Wednesday nights. And hopefully, maybe, God willing, if He moves in that direction and supplies us with the kind of workers, maybe even have Awanas come back. So what do you think? Too much change? I think God is leading us in this direction. And so God leads churches to change. God leads families to change. And sometimes it's a change of job. You've been working in a position or a certain company so long, and God says, oh girl, oh boy, it's time to change. And it's always concerning how it's going to work out. And so you can never eliminate that element of faith. Never. There's always going to be room for growth when change occurs. You'll have to step out on faith. Believe God has called you to go in this direction. Settle it. Commit to it. And move. Nehemiah's transition. We have, first of all, Nehemiah's comfort. Nehemiah's concern. He was concerned about the news he received. He was concerned about how it's all going to work out. Let me mention a third thing. And that is Nehemiah's courage. His courage. Before we actually get into looking at his courage displayed, I want to look a little bit at his emotions. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. That word mourned is a hard emotional word, to mourn, to grieve, to lament over something, for your heart to be broken. God at times breaks our hearts to change. And I wonder sometimes if God's heart is not broken because we're not changing. He mourned certain days and he fasted. He even refrained from eating. Sometimes when God changes our course and he speaks to us about change, sometimes it can be a health benefit that comes along with it. Hey, starting out fasting, man, that can lead to the next big great diet. He fasted, he refrained from eating, and prayed before the God of heaven. He wept, mourned, fasted, and prayed many days. Many days. You know how long he wept, mourned, fasted, and prayed? Right at 4 months. When he got word, it was the month Chislu. Let's just say December. Chapter 2, verse 1, it was the month Nisan. It was April. So he wept, mourned, fasted, and prayed from wintertime to springtime. He was ready to make his decision when the birds started chirping. Springtime. Then at the appropriate time, or when it was his turn to pour the cup, he was in his position and offered the cup. The king noticed his sad countenance. Nehemiah told him why. All right. Look at chapter number 2. This is when he's before the king. He noticed his sad presence. Verse number 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates whereof are consumed with fire? So we see here that Nehemiah has this sad countenance, but at the same time there's this courage found in that as well. He's emotional. He's facing the king. Now I want you to notice verse number 4. Then the king said unto me, and I could just see Nehemiah like swallowing real deep. Then the king said unto me, for what doest thou make request? Look at this. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah, he's like, he's praying. He says, man, don't kill me. He says, what do you need? Nehemiah prayed. And so there's times in life where there's time for long prayers and long seasons of praying. He had been praying for 3 to 4 months about this. Now he's before the king, and so he prayed again. But there's also times where short prayer is in order. So I prayed to the king of heaven. He was prepared to pray for this time, but it was a short prayer. Verse number 5, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres. Look at this. That I may build it. That I may build it. And so we see here that Nehemiah was already committed in his heart. Y'all with me this morning? He was committed in his heart, or he wouldn't have never mentioned He's ready to build. Don't know how to build. Never built anything, at least in my estimation, in my research of the Bible. But he was fully committed and he was ready. This is his courage. We've seen his emotion. And this is his courage. Nehemiah had already committed to the transition at this point in the process and told the king at his request by asking him to leave and go build something he's never done before. What do we do if we feel God is leading us to do something different in life that we've never done before? This is a good place to start. Pray about it. And if you feel God leading you to do it, fully commit to it. And you may not have all of the potential outcomes when you commit to it, because there's still that element of faith in our decision making that we have to display. Not many things God will call you to do where it's all laid out, where there's no concerns at all. What kind of growth is in that? There is no growth in that if there's no dependency upon God. And so we see Nehemiah's courage. First we see his emotion. Then we see his courage. He was already committed. King, please let me go that I may build. Are you ready to commit to where you feel God is leading you? Lastly, under that point, Nehemiah's courage, we see God making things happen. Look at verse number 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. The king said yes and granted the request. But church, make no mistake about it, God moved on the heart of that king. Don't turn there, but Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it wherever, soever he will. God moved on the heart of that king and allowed the gates to open so he could leave. And listen, when God puts something on your heart to do and you're willing to do it, not knowing the outcome, living by faith for the transition, God will make a way for you to do it. So we see here that Nehemiah has some courage. Nehemiah has some courage, and it was coming. The courage was coming from God. God was making things happen. God was giving Nehemiah courage. God put this in his heart to do. And we know he put it in his heart to do because of verse number 12. Look at verse 12, chapter 2. And I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. Nehemiah was living life at Shushan, had a place to sleep, plenty of food to eat, had friends that come and visit him. No doubt, I'm sure he had some there. He was serving the king. He was his cupbearer. He was trustworthy. But then when his friends came and told him about what was taking place at Jerusalem, God began to speak to his heart about change. And change occurs sometimes suddenly, like it did here. Change occurs gradually. God will use all kinds of things to initiate the change. He used these men to initiate the change with Nehemiah. God immediately began to deal with him about change. What is God dealing with you this morning about? What kind of changes do you need to make? What kind of changes is God wanting you to make? Is God leading you somewhere in some facet or area of life? We see Nehemiah's comfort. We see Nehemiah's concern. We see Nehemiah's courage. And then the Lord willing, tonight I want to continue this message with two more points, and that is there were some challenges when Nehemiah went. But then there was a conclusion too when Nehemiah went. So the Lord willing, we'll fill that up. We'll finish that up tonight. But let's stand to our feet. If the Lord is speaking to you, you want to come pray, you need to come pray. Wherever the case is, you come this morning on the first verse. Where'd you come? Does anybody else need to come this morning? Nobody's pointing. Nobody's looking. Nobody's laughing.